What is peace brain? Peace brain is the synergistic connection between our mental and emotional bodies, blending the electrical power of the mind with the magnetic force of the heart. Listen and explore how to create unity worldwide as we blend science and metaphysics, open our hearts and minds to the possibilities of peace on Earth, and create the life we are each destined for. Featured guests range from angel communicators to zoologists and everything in between. Now here is your host, Dr. Gail Lash.
Welcome, everyone, to the Peace Brain Show. This is your host, Dr. Gail Lash, and we are so happy to have you here today. Today, we have some amazing topics and an amazing guest. We're going to be talking about the dramatic arts and how they relate to peace, and just have this amazing guest, Danielle Brown. But we'll get into that in just a moment and welcome her in just a moment. We also, of course, have this beautiful Peace Brain meditation at the end of the show, so please stay tuned for that all the way at the end, and you will get a transformative meditation. So now, as always, I open up the show with a quote, and this quote today is from a religious leader, Abdu'l-Bahá, and I love this quote. Here, you will see why. He says, "I rejoice to hear that thou takest pains with thine art, for in this wonderful new age, art is worship. The more thou strives to perfect it, the closer wilt thou come to God. What bestowal could be greater than this, that one's art should be even as the art of worshiping the Lord? That is to say, when thy fingers grasp the paintbrush, it is as if thou wert at a prayer in the temple." So what he's talking about here is that art is worshiping God, that art is this beautiful medium, this beautiful perfection that can be as glorious as if you were in prayer. And I believe that. I really do. I believe that art can change our souls. It can open us up to be closer to the Creator. It can open us up to a whole new part of ourselves and a whole new way of looking at the world. And of course, we're not just talking about art here as the paintbrush, as he says here. We're talking about art in general. That can be poetry or song or dance or dramatic arts. It can be anything that uplifts our creative side and our creative soul. And this is so important for everyone to investigate. Where is your creative soul? Are you nurturing it? Are you doing something with it? Are you living your art? Are you actually opening up the doors to your creativity and becoming truly the whole person that you can be by expressing the art of who you are? So with that, that quote really leads very beautifully into today's wonderful guest that I have with us. And she is an artist. She is an amazing person and actress and singer. She is a coach. She has a company called Theatrically Yours and does group acting workshops and classes, private acting coaching, production consultation, casting, directing, producing. She does it all. She's an amazing lady. So let me read you her bio. This is Danielle Brown, a Detroit native, is a professional singer and actress currently residing in the metro Atlanta area. Her most recent onstage performance would be at the Alliance Theater in her portrayal of the dragon in Shrek, the musical. Some of her other theater credits include in Atlanta, Georgia, The Project's Project, The God of Carnage at the Alliance Theater, Kenny Leon's True Colors Theater's Spring Reading, Macbeth, at the Georgia Shakespeare Theater Company, and in her defense, Afeni Shakur at the Tupac Shakur Center for the Arts. In Birmingham, Alabama, she was in Ruined at the City Equity Theater, the Aldridge Repertory. In Los Angeles, California, She was in Stick Fly at the Matrix Theater, Southern Girls at the Ruby Complex Theater, and For Colored Girls at the Stella Adler Theater. And it goes on and on. She's been in all these wonderful productions. She holds a Master's of Fine Arts in Theater from UCLA and a Bachelor of Arts in Speech and Drama from the Virginia Union University. She's a member of the illustrious Delta Sigma Theta Sorority, Incorporated, and by the way of the Beta Epsilon chapter. She is also a performing artist, as we said. She's also taught and directed plays at the Southern Arts Center, the Atlanta Metro State College, Clark Atlanta University, where she was a professor of theater for 3 years, and at Tri-Cities High School, a nationally known, highly acclaimed, and award-winning performing arts program, where she served 3 years as the director of drama and musical theater, directing several plays, including Almost Maine, For Colored Girls, In the Heights, the musical, Crowns, and Grease, the musical. She now teaches acting, writing, directs, and produces projects for theater, film, and television through her company, Theatrically Yours, Coaching and Creative Services, LLC. Wow, Danyay, what a bio. Welcome to have you on the Peace Brain Show. Thanks for being here.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's my pleasure to be here. Thank you.
So, you do so much, and you've seen so much, and you're still quite young in my eyes. You know, you really are. You're just a blossoming light on the horizon here, and I know that you really love to instill that creative sense that we were talking about in that quote to young people and to people in general, young and old alike. Tell me something about what got you into these beautiful dramatic arts, or how did you get started?
Yeah, I mean, it was something that found me, actually. As I was growing up, when I was young, you know, we watched TV, we go to, you know, I was in school, and fortunately for me, I was at an elementary school who exposed us to the arts. And I remember being taken on a field trip to see Charlotte's Web, and then being taken on another field trip to see The Wizard of Oz. And I was just blown away at theater. It was live. It was happening right then and there. It was colorful. There were, you know, objects on stage. And, you know, I knew that that was something that was magnetic. I was drawn to it. I think it was drawn to me. And on top of that, being able to watch TV and imagine myself being on television as well, that was probably the first inkling of acting when I knew that was something for me. And then the plays were just an add-on. So it really found me. I was just living life. And and these experiences showed up, and it found me, and we fell in love. That's how it happened.
Oh, I love it. I love it. You know, you said something about it being colorful and live right there. I love that. You know, as a child, you really are into the experience of life and color and sound and lights, and just all of that really gets to the senses. And that's one thing I love about theater.
Yeah. I think it's designed for that. I mean, I've learned, you know, since I've studied theater and been a part of theater, that all of these elements come together for the experience, you know. And it's true that you could have theater without an elaborate set, without elaborate sound and, you know, and costumes and props and et cetera. But, you know, the experience of having all of those spectacles really pulls you into the situation and the scenario that's happening in the moment. And it suspends disbelief, I should say. You know, when you're sitting there, you don't think that you're watching a play. You think that you're watching a real situation. And so, yeah, I, as a kid, of course, it's easy for us to be drawn into an experience. And so adding all of those other elements, I think, really, really pulled me in.
So, you, again, you bring up something that I want to explore, and that is being drawn into the situation and suspending, you know, disbelief. We really are a good theatrical performance or a movie or any kind of performance where the audience gets drawn into the actual scene is so important. So why do we, and this is kind of a big interesting question, and we could probably explore the answer for the whole hour of the show, but why is that important for humanity to have this opportunity to be drawn into these artistic endeavors?
I think what entertainment does, what theater does, what television does, it gives people who are watching, it elevates their imagination. It has them imagine something that they would not be able to imagine on their own. It gives them new perspectives. It's like coming to a fork in the road and having, you know, instead of just two paths, maybe like three or four paths that you could take. And theater is in entertainment and television shows you at least one of those paths, and they're usually the one that you would not have thought of, you know? That's how I see it. And even if you have thought of it, then it still connects you in a way. And now you can relate to the situation, and now you don't feel alone in the situation. Now you're like, oh, yeah, I thought of that, and someone else thought of it too. Yes, I am not crazy, or I am not, you know, far from reality, you know, which I think with the times that have changed, I mean, I grew up in the 80s, and so 80s and 90s, and so times have changed to a point where everything is so virtual and digital now. We want the sense of connection. We want to know that someone else is thinking what we're thinking. We want to see reality, you know, in humans and in life, and not be just bound by what we see digitally, which usually is a facade. So, I love that we get to show people another way of looking at things and give them a perspective and be that liaison between one person's story to another.
Wow. So you're really saying that art connects us all. Yes, that makes total sense. And also opens up our imagination to think about things the way we may not have thought about it, which gives us opportunities to explore our own life and the possibilities within it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So let's talk about, I don't know, I'm probably putting you here on the spot. What's your favorite kind of art?
Oh, wow. My favorite kind of art. It changes. So I would say right now it's film and television. I am becoming very passionate of how digital film, you know, how it provides these shots and these images, you know, because right now we're all watching images. And so I am amazed at how digital film is affecting lives right now. Almost everything we watch is film. I mean, our phones have cameras now, you know.
It's true.
So pretty much, you know, there's cameras and then there's also FaceTime. People are amazed and are excited by images now. They want to talk. They want to see you. You know, I taught high school for a number of years. And so the new thing is not talking on the phone or texting. It's FaceTiming. So all these people in the hallway, all these kids in the hallway, walking from class to class, looking at their phone, talking to it, because they're on FaceTime.
Right.
Which I just, you know, to me it's like, oh, wow, I never thought that, you know, the day of the Jetsons would actually, you know, manifest.
Be here, yes.
Yeah. So I love it. Even if you're just creating words on digital film, I mean, people are excited about watching digital film.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And so the live theater is, I won't say getting less or less important, but it is a whole different genre. It's kind of like meeting up with your friend in person. May not happen as much as the FaceTime you're talking about, or certainly digital media is huge now.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. So in other words, what is your take then, or how can we, and I'll get back to peace, which of course is the theme of the show, about how can we best create peace in the world and bring us to that community that we just talked about a moment ago, using digital media, using film and television?
This is a good question. I think in a lot of ways we're still trying to figure that out. I would say right now, because there's more than one way, I think we're creating stories. We're taking stories and we're filming them. You know, reality TV has tried to become a way of reaching people. Documentaries have always been a way of reaching people to create peace. I think the magic is done in the story. So it's not really the medium that it's being portrayed. So it's not the film, it's not the camera, it's not all of that. I think it's in the story, which is why the entertainment industry is so exciting, because the story can be transformed in many different mediums, you know? But I think that when you are able to see someone else's story through a lens, you know, that the story alone, you know, is what brings us together. It's what teaches. It's what moves us to a different perspective, shifts us, encourages us, expands our horizon and opens our heart.
That's beautiful. You're absolutely correct. It is when we watch something, whatever, or we're involved in something, whatever the medium, it is the story that captures our hearts. So what stories, Danye, would you like to see be told now?
Well, I'd like to see stories told about people, places, and things that are not common. Whenever I watch a movie, whenever I go to see theater, I want to learn. I want to be enlightened. And I want to walk away saying, oh, wow, I never knew that before, you know, or, oh, wow, I didn't know that this was happening, or I never imagined that this situation could be handled in this way. And I'll give you some examples of some movies and some plays that I've seen or read that have done just that. One movie that I saw years ago was John Q. It's the story of a young child who had to have heart surgery, but because his parents were poor and they didn't have any insurance, you know, the child was on the brink of the death, and the dad came, you know, in almost like a renegade, like he held the whole hospital hostage, literally, with a weapon and everything. And so someone worked on his son, and you know, it enlightened me as far as the insurance policy and all of the things involved with having insurance. I didn't know all of that before, and so I was enlightened. Another play that enlightened me was Ruined by Lynn Nottage. It's a play that takes place in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, and it takes place during a war between two nations over the coltan mineral that is used in cell phones. I think I'm saying all of this right, but there was a mineral that is used in cell phones, and these two nations were fighting for it. And because of that, because of the wars that were happening, the women were being abducted and raped, and not only raped, but raped to a point it was almost like a new genocide. So there was, not to get too graphic, but just like instruments they would use to destroy the womb of the woman, so that she would not be able to carry children. And these women were damaged by that experience. And the play Ruin talks about the a woman who was ruined, but turned the situation around and had a brothel where she, made money off of other women who were ruined, and had them give the men their pleasures up to a certain point. But then, she had her own business. She created a business out of it, and the women in return got a place to stay, got food, they were being taken care of, they had a social, semi-social life. And, otherwise these women wouldn't be able to go back to their families because their families were ashamed of them in this country, and their families would not accept them, and so they were kind of just wandering. So this woman made a business off of that. So that enlightened me. I didn't know that was going on, and I didn't know that there were fights over this mineral for us, that we are, on our cell phones with. I mean, so I like movies and plays that teach me things. There's a story, but there's also a lesson. I like stories that bring a humanistic experience or value, and it expresses the humanistic value in the story. So I'd like to see more stories about human, what am I trying to say, where there are people who are not, who you would not normally see interacting on a friend, family, or socially bonding, I'm trying to say something like to the effect of like relationships, there we go. Two humans who have a relationship that you would not think would have a relationship.
Right,
I'm so interested in that story and how they go through the relationship. I'm not going to give a whole lot of it away because I think I might end up writing something like this. But I like to see that story told. And I think it would give everyone an opportunity to see that it's not impossible, that we can be unified on a certain level.
Yes, Yes, no, you're correct. And I love that you were saying have relationships with people you would not expect to have relationships, because this world is so diverse with its human populations, and yet we're all humans. We are unified. We need to be unified and enjoy each other and honor each other in our diversity. And so to get outside our comfort zone, our box, if you will, of whom I normally see every day and who I might have relationships with, but to expand that into these diverse populations and really get to know the human race is a wondrous thing. And art, obviously, dramatic arts and different kinds of art brings us that opportunity. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love it. So tell us a little bit about what you're working on now or what you're concentrating on for the future.
Okay. Yes, I actually have multiple projects going on right now. I'm working on, of course, building Theatrically Yours. There's always wonderful additions and experiences and ideas that I receive to build Theatrically Yours. But right now, building that, and then also I'll be traveling to North Carolina for the National Black Theater Festival, actually. And so that theater festival has been, oh, man, I mean, it's been years and years and years. I'd say about at least 15, 20 years or more that festival has been in existence. But in that festival, that's where you get to see theater from all over the country performed at this theater festival. And you also get to see some film screenings and take some acting workshops and, you know, commune with other theater artists. And so I'm looking forward to that. And I may even be participating in a reading at the National Black Theater Festival. So I'm looking forward to that. So that's one of the things that is on the horizon that's, you know, actually happening or getting ready to happen very soon. Other than that, I have with Theatrically Yours, I'll be participating in a conference in which I will pull some high school students together, high school or middle school students together, and I will write and direct a piece, two 10-minute pieces on racism and colorism in America. And that's going to be performed at a conference. And the conference usually tours. So they've had it already at Georgia State University and some other universities in Georgia. And so they're looking to expand and basically get the word out about, you know, how do we end racism and colorism? It's really like a meeting of the minds. And I have some, you know, of course I'm an actress, so I'm still auditioning and waiting on things to come back as far as that. I'm writing projects and that's pretty much
busy lady.
Teaching workshops and still getting caught interviewing. I was asked to interview some celebrity artists that are represented by this PR firm. So there's a lot going on. Yeah, so
there is. Yeah. And let's give everyone, while you're talking about that, your website, theatricallyyours.com.
Oh, yeah.
That's theatricallyyours.com. And, of course, you have Instagram, which is fabulous. I love your Instagram, @theatricallyyours_LLC. So we want people to be able to find you. I know you just did some workshops for kids. Tell us about that. You did a whole workshop program sort of a camp.
Yeah, I did. There's a new school out. I mean, when I say new, I mean within the last 10 years it was established, an elementary school dedicated to exposing their students to the arts at an early age. And the name of that school is Dream Keepers Academy. And I want to thank Andretta Toledo, who reached out to me and wanted to bring me in to teach an acting workshop. It was an acting / audition workshop to her 3rd through 5th graders. And we did a 3-day workshop. And, I mean, those kids, I mean, they took that information, they got their monologues, they memorized it all within 3 days, and we were able to put on a showcase for their parents. It was amazing.
Wow.
So I love it. I love it. They soaked it all up. So, yeah, I do those workshops. I do workshops for all ages. And I start at age 7, and we go up from there, you know. And I right now I have a private coach, and I mean, I have a private coaching client, and she's retired, you know, but she has her own business. But, you know, she's of age where she's like, I want to get on a stage, you know, I want to do something that I've always wanted to do. And she's going to do it. She's going to be on stage. I believe that. And so I'm working with her, but I also work with teens, and I work with college students, and I work with, you know, middle-aged adults. So I really don't have a limit to the age
right.
that I work. Yeah, I work.
So
with,
in other words, if one of our listeners is a budding actor and wants mm-hmm. to, you know, no matter what age, wants to get on the stage, explore their expression.
Mm-hmm.
They can contact
mm-hmm.
you and have a coach, as a coach at theatricallyyours.com. So
yeah.
Tell us a little bit about, I know you taught at Tri-Cities High School, which is a magnet program for the dramatic arts, and
yeah.
you had some amazing students there. One of your
mm-hmm.
students, I think, just got an award. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. Her name is Raven Pace. She just won first place, which she received a gold medal for dramatic performance. This is on the national level, and this is for the NAACP AXL competition. And the national competition took place in Baltimore, Maryland. She got gold. She placed gold. And she's a very, very talented young lady. Since the first day I met her ninth grade year, I knew, I said, oh, this one right here, she is extremely hungry and talented. And she also was my August Wilson monologue competition winner for the Atlanta region. So she's been kind of racking up this year. And, Raven Pace, if you guys hear that name, know that she's the truth. She is wonderfully talented. Enjoyed my time working with her. I have some other students who my seniors this year, a lot of them received scholarships, I mean, close to full. I had at least about three of them received full scholarships for theater. And then I had the rest at least get half of their tuition paid for 4 years for their theater programs. And then they got their other scholarships from other places. So I'm very proud of those students and all that they were able to accomplish in theater arts.
That's awesome. I know it's so important to give young people an opportunity to move forward with their passions and their dreams.
Yeah.
So what does it take to really make this a profession, the dramatic arts a profession?
Mm-hmm. Oh, it takes discipline, lots and lots of discipline. It also takes a passion. And you know it's a passion when you would do it for free. Because mm-hmm. Sometimes you may, you know, and also or little to nothing, you know. I had a woman she's my mentor, and she told me one day, or she told a group of us one day, she said, it doesn't matter how much I'm getting paid, I'm still going to give a performance as if, you know, I'm getting paid the highest amount that I could be paid. She said, you know, it doesn't matter how much I'm getting paid, I'm still going to perform, you know, at my highest ability. And I took that advice because I said, yeah, that's a passion. You know, when you have a passion for something, it doesn't matter how much you're getting paid. So it takes, you know, it takes a discipline, it takes a passion, it takes strength. Got to be a strong person. Because in this profession, you're going to get a lot of no's before you get yeses. And so you've got to see no's in a different way. You can't see it as rejection. And if you're a person who struggles with rejection, then you'll have a hard time navigating through this art form. I mean, we already, even if we don't struggle with rejection, we already have a hard enough time. I mean, that's why we have our friends, our crazy friend artists, that we can go to and say, and just scream and say, I'm tired of it. I don't want to do it anymore. And then that crazy friend artist is like, you're worth it. Yes, you do it. We even have those moments within ourselves. Mm-hmm. But then, of course, we know that there was nothing else for us to do in this world. So this is what we do. And that's why I do this, because there's nothing else that I would do. I don't know what else I would do. I don't.
And so, that makes perfect sense, Danielle. You know, you have the passion for it. Each one of us has has a gift or talent and something that turns our heart on, that makes our heart sing. Yeah. And that's really what a passion is of what we are to each do in life. That's our purpose.
Yeah.
And I know those who, the dramatic arts or the arts in general, grabs a hold of your heart and says, you have to do this. You have to be a painter or a poet or a writer or a dancer or an actor or a director. You have to do it. And that's when it actually, the most can be accomplished. That's when that beautiful work, as you said, can come out and really be where a connection to the audience, a connection to the viewer or the reader.
Absolutely.
And connect people heart to heart.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the most important thing. Wow.
Yeah.
So I had something I was going to ask you. Let me see. Boom.
Okay.
It slipped. Going forward, it's about this connection. It's about having people have that heart to heart. And so how can, where do I want to go with this? There's a process of each person coming up with their own creativity. How can you help people blossom that within them?
Okay. You mean like as a coach, as a teacher
of
art?
As a mentor. You mentioned you had a mentor.
Okay.
I know you are a mentor and a coach.
Mm-hmm.
How can that support system, you mentioned your crazy artist friends. We all need that support system to encourage us to move forward with our own passions. That support system, that mentorship, that coaching, tell us a little bit about the value or the how that helps people move forward.
Okay. Yeah. To be a mentor, a coach, and to help someone navigate through this art form, you have to have discernment. You have to be able to see more than what's on the surface with people. What I learned in my years of teaching is that you cannot treat every student the same. You cannot have this. You cannot establish some sort of formula for teaching students and think that everyone is going to respond the same way. Not in an artistic classroom, no.
So that's true.
You have to provide tools for them, but expect them to interpret it in different ways, because they're bringing their experiences and their themselves up to that point to this new piece of knowledge, and they can only process it from where they are at that moment. And so there are some students who will have a plethora of experiences and be able to apply that concept to in more ways than one. And then there's some people who come from one way of approaching their art. And so when they get this concept, they may be confounded. They may find that, oh God, I don't know how to apply this. This might not be for me. You know what I mean? Right now.
Yes.
And so my job is to let them know that that's okay. That is okay. As a young artist, because I had the pleasure of teaching young artists, you just go ahead and put that in your little toolbox, because you know, they were kind of like, well, how come there's so many different ways? You know, I know a lot of teachers who teach one way of breaking down a scene, one way of doing a monologue. And what I did for my students, I taught them one way, and then I, you know, once they grasped that and I knew that they had that, I taught them another way. You know, and
right.
That way they didn't, they had multiple ways of getting this, you know, getting into a character, getting into a scene. And if they wanted to, they could take one tool from one process and merge it with another tool from a different process. You know, it's totally up to them, but my job was to expose them and to really, as a coach, as a teacher, I am helping them to stand on their own two feet.
Yes.
It's really nothing more than that. I mean, it is. There's other things that come with it, but the most important part of it is to get them to stand on their own two feet and be okay with their own two feet. You know what I mean?
Yes,
yes,
I love it.
So,
yes.
Yes, because and then they can be, and I'm sure you would agree with this, that's when they would be grounded and present, and then you know, they can do exceedingly, you know, they can exceed the possibilities that they have imagined, you know.
Yes.
Once they can stand on their two feet, and they're good standing on their two feet. Yes. So that's my job, really.
Good job. Good job. That makes perfect sense. Thank you. It really does. And we need people who have come before to show us the way, to open the doors to multiple paths so we can choose what works best for each of us. Yeah, very good.
Yeah, I had those people in my life, and I remember them, you know. One in particular, Miss Marilyn McCormick, she was my drama teacher in high school. And this woman was able to see me before I knew who I was or what I was doing, you know. And because of her persistent, she was persistent in seeing me. But because she was so persistent, I was able to see myself, you know, and I was able to believe. And I've gotten a lot accomplished, you know, by the seed that she planted, that where she watered, you know what I mean? Because
yes.
I knew that I had something, but I just didn't have anyone to water it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And she watered that seed and watered it and watered it. And, man, you know, I'm amazed at how you know, how I learned a lot from her as a teacher.
Mm. Yeah. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I like that analogy, that visual of watering the seeds, because that's what not only our children are, but that's what our passions are. They're these seeds that we need to water and allow to grow and become what they really need to be.
Yes.
Well, we're getting toward the end of the show. What else would you like to tell our listeners before we wrap up your portion here?
Well, I'd like to just encourage them. I know and I understand that there may be some people who have not yet found their passion or have not yet found their purpose. And I just want to encourage those people and remind them that they are in an awesome, awesome place. and if they would just open themselves up to, you know, receive what is innately in them, you know, ask themselves the question, what do I do naturally? You know, that I don't need to be pushed to do. I don't need to be taught anything else. It just kind of happens. You know, ask yourself that question and follow your heart. And you may find that thing is going to open doors for other things, that you probably couldn't imagine. And that's just kind of the journey that I'm on right now. I'm learning that there are more than 101 ways to skin a cat, and that my path, I've been identified as an actress for so many years. And I would say within the last 10 years, I've discovered that I'm so much more than just an actress, and that is okay. And that my journey may not look like someone else's journey who's becoming an actress or who's aspiring to be an actress, I'm fine with that in my young years. I'm fine with that. I'm fine with the evolution of Danielle. I'm fine with the evolution of who I am and my purpose in life. And that's what I'd like to leave your listeners with. Be okay with the evolution of you.
I love it.
It's just, change is good. Change is good.
Boy, and don't we sometimes fear change, but it really is the only constant in the universe is change.
Yeah, it is. It's the only constant. It's been happening for years.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. Thank you, Danielle. Mm-hmm. It's been a delight to hear about your journey and your services.
Thank
oh, my
you.
Goodness. Yeah, for being on the show.
Thank you for having me. I so appreciate this opportunity.
Mm-hmm. No, you're very welcome. So everyone can find more about Danielle Brown at theatricallyyours.com. That's theatricallyyours.com. And her Instagram is at theatricallyyours_LLC. So I hope everyone goes and checks you out, Danielle, and post some great things on your Instagram, some follows you, et cetera.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
And if I could just add, if you're interested in coaching or anything like that, or just a consultation of some sort, on my Instagram there are buttons. There's a call button. There's an email button. There's even a directions button that has my mailing address on it if you want to send me something. But go ahead and you can call me, click that button, call me. You can email me if you've heard this show and you want to just comment or start a discussion, please send me an email, reach out to me. I'd love to hear from you.
Excellent. Yes, we'd love for everyone to contact you. That would be awesome. You are an amazing woman, amazing lady. So thank you for being on the show.
Thank you.
All right. So everyone, just take a breath. We're going to go into the Peace Brain meditation. And wow, so everyone has an actor inside of them. We are really learning to be ourselves. So I want to explore that a little bit in this meditation. So take a breath. I know one thing that occurred to me is kind of the scariness of being out there in front of people. But in truth, it's really about, as we talked about, living your passion and being just doing your passion no matter what people think of you. And that really is what we're each here for, is to follow our own heart. So with that, go into yourself. You can close your eyes if you choose. Give yourself a grounding cord, as we've done in previous shows, which is an energetic connection, a beam of light, let's say, from the base of your spine all the way to the center of Mother Earth, to her iron crystal core. And that grounding cord brings you into present time. Allow everything you're thinking of from the past or the future just to flow down that beam of light into Mother Earth to be recycled into new energy. You don't need it right at this moment. Be here in the present moment, present time. And take another breath. And be aware of your heart, your sacred heart. There is this beautiful holy space within your heart where you are connected to the Creator. You are connected to your divine self, who you truly are. This is where your answers lie for your own life. And allow yourself to find those answers within yourself. No one knows better than you about your life's path and about your grace and about your purpose. And you may not have all the answers within your mind at the moment, but know that it is within your heart. They are there and in your connection to the Creator. And I say that because we're each divine beings and we have a divine purpose. And as we connect with that sacred heart and with the Creator within us, with the all that is, that divine purpose can shine forth. So give yourself permission to be the actor in your own life, to be the creator of your life, and to know that you are acting out whoever you are. And I mean that with the greatest respect and dignity and grace. It's not about acting to be untrue. It's about acting to be your true self. Who are you? Explore this for a moment, and of course, many moments after this show is over, you can reflect, who am I? What is my sacred heart today? What character do you choose to play in this physical body as your spirit resides in your physical body? Who did you come here to be? Because we are all actors on a stage of life. And know that you are to show up 100% as you, as the beautiful, dramatic, inquisitive, perhaps loud or perhaps shy, whatever it is of you. You are perfect. You are to be different from everyone else. So take a breath. And look within that heart and find one characteristic that you love about yourself, that you absolutely love about yourself. And breathe it in and really honor it. Yes, this is who I am. It can be any quality. Maybe you're patient. Maybe you're creative. Maybe you're dedicated. Maybe you love details. Maybe you're great in math. Maybe you love poetry. Whatever it is, honor this about yourself. Get to know who you are. And this is just but one of your qualities. And know that as you bring this quality to life, as you become the actor on your own stage and play with your art, and bring your art out into the world, the art of that quality, that is art. People will honor it, honor who you are for having that quality within you. They may even hire you and you get a job because of that quality. And of course, that is one of the goals, that you actually live, work, and play in who you truly are. So take another breath and honor the art within you. What do you want to create in your life? Find the artist within. The artist who not necessarily wants to paint or write a poem, but the artist maybe who wants to play with your dogs or train them in a certain way, or work with children, or be a nurse in a hospital, or a doctor helping people. Or a builder, a construction worker, just building something of beauty and purpose. What is your art that you're here for? Find the artist within you and unleash it to be its beautiful creativity and its beautiful talent, and to give to the world what your art can play and weave into the collection of humanity. for you are an artist, and you are opening not only your own heart, but that of others around you. You influence those and feel the influence that you have, and bring that influence into a peaceful realm, into one that connects hearts, into one that opens yours and brings joy and gladness, not only to you, but to others as well. For it is in that collective humanity that we find ourselves. We find out who we are. We find our talent and our artist within. So take a breath. You can stay in your sacred heart, but bring your mind and awareness back to your room and open your eyes. Know that you are special, and you have special gifts to give to the world, and that you are an artist in your own way, whatever it is, and the world needs you for what you can provide. So I invite you to be happy and to go play and be creative today and to really enjoy yourself and your talents. And I want to thank again Ms. Danae Brown for being on the Peace Brain Show. And again, you can find her at theatricallyyours.com or her Instagram at theatrically_yours_LLC. And of course, if you want to find out more about me, Dr. Gail Lash, you can go to tourismforpeace.com, or you can email me at hello@peacebrain.org. So thank you again for tuning in, and I invite you now to please go forth and activate your peace brain and put your mark on the World Peace Trails map. Many, many blessings. Namaste.
Thank you for joining us on the Peace Brain Show. You can find us at tourismforpeace.com. Be sure to check out Dr. Gail's Alchemy of Peace coaching sessions, her Peace Master plans for your business or organization, and her upcoming book, Peace Brain 101. Tune in to BBS Radio Station 2 every other Tuesday at 5 p.m. Pacific and 8 p.m. Eastern for the Peace Brain Show and your next installment of wonder, inspiration, and practical peace.